So we are on page 19, love today. And this takes us to, on our scripture reading sheet, the very first verse before the story of the Good Samaritan. So on page 1, line 27, Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." That's the very heart of the life that pleases God, and he used the story of the Samaritan to help illustrate that. Stress often leads us toward isolating behaviors. Isolating behaviors will cause more stress and separate us from the social support that we need. We need instead to love today. You can't wait for a later, less stressful day to love other people. You know what I mean? You come home from work stressed and you blow through the door and you're thinking, "I'm too stressed to care about any of you right now." Well, what are you going to do? Are you looking forward to a future day when there'll be no stress and then you'll be loving? What is stunning to me, though it again would be just what we expect based on creation, is that scientists who don't believe in a creator God and who believe in an evolutionary survival of the fittest emphasize the great importance of relationships and even love. And I've put a whole string of quotes in your handout because these are so amazing to hear these evolutionary materialists say these kind of things. It's on page 19 in your notebook. Survival of the fittest is an old mantra. The new rule should be survival of the kindest. A genuine selfless concern is essential for your own wellness and happiness. Cultivating positive relationships that instill a sense of connectiveness and belonging is literally how our organism thrives. Love is an antidote to the toxic stress hormones that can kill us. Love is the way our biology functions best. What the data shows, the fewer social relationships a person has, the shorter his or her life expectancy, and the worse the impact of various infectious diseases. One of the strongest stress-reducing qualities of social support is the act of giving social support. And then my favorite quote from all of my study, this line from our atheist friend, Dr. Sapolsky: "Perhaps we can even risk scientific credibility and detachment and mention the word love here, because that most ephemeral of phenomena lurks between the lines of this chapter. Scientists and physicians and other caregivers have often been dim at recognizing its importance in the mundane biological processes by which organs and tissues grow and develop." Why have they been dim about recognizing its importance? Because it doesn't fit in an evolutionary worldview of survival of the fittest. It doesn't make sense. And yet what they continue to find out is that love, this thing they can't even figure out how to scientifically define, changes your life and changes your body in powerful ways. And so they have to risk scientific credibility and detachment to even use the word. From the Bible standpoint, you don't have to risk any credibility to use the word. God says it's the very heart of what matters. Love God, love people. In a little while, I'm going to show you one more clip from that National Geographic special, and I want to show you their grand conclusion. Okay? You go to Africa with Robert Sapolsky and you learn all this stuff, and National Geographic tells you all about stress, and then they come to this grand conclusion. And essentially what they say is, we need to be kind to each other. Really, that's cutting edge science about stress. See, from the Bible standpoint, it is evident that we were created for relationships and we were created to love. The problem is that sinful responses during stress can wreck relationships. Judgmentalism, bitterness, anger, envy, jealousy, resentment, criticism. You see, we didn't include those on this list, but don't they show up a lot of the time? When your mind wanders to your stressors, doesn't that often include toxic, upset, hostile, unforgiving kind of thinking about other people? You know what that does? It makes us look at other people as our enemies. Stressors. And you know what we want to do with them? Get them out of our life. I mean, we wouldn't say that, but that is how we're thinking about them. We might think that we could get rid of our stress by getting rid of every stressful relationship, but some of your stressful relationships are the most valuable relationships in your life. So on your put it into action sheet again, part 9, simple question. We don't have time really to work through this, but if your stressors were taken away, would you lose any important relationships? If I just completely took away those sources of stress, what would you lose? People. What people would you lose? So let's keep going. I don't have time to work on that. But, you know, when I was in college, I remember hearing a song that just grabbed my attention. I don't know whether I'm a type A personality or not. They don't actually use that phrase so much anymore. I think we all feel like we're some kind of weird mix of things, right? But I can be task-driven at times. I can be very oriented toward go in the future, whatever. But I remember hearing this song that had the line, "People crowded in my way, but I pushed them all away. They were just a senseless bother till I heard the Savior say, 'Love as I loved, give as I gave. These are the people that I came to save.'" That just grabbed my attention. I must have been like 20 or 21. And I realized that's exactly what I'm doing. I am looking at people as a problem in my way. And I'm trying to shove them out of my way so I can get wherever I'm headed. And I have to stop. God created us to love. See every person in your life as a precious human being, not just as a potential source of stress for you. People are valuable. Relationships are far more valuable than most of the things we live for in this life. Traffic, what's that compared to people? Money, what's that compared to people? Work and deadlines and taxes, what's that compared to people? Even your health. Well, if you had to choose between being really healthy and having really good relationships, which would you choose? A completely lonely life that's healthy, or some sickness with sweet relationships? Right? Don't let your stress drive you away from people. Don't let your stressors make you think the people around you are your enemies. And instead, during times of stress, instead of pushing away from people, we need to feed our relationships, to nurture our relationships. When you're stressed and you walk through the door after work, you need to think, what I've got to do right now is reach out in love, or this is trouble. Who can I give a hug to? Who can I say a kind word to? Who can I encourage? When you are stressed, ask for God's help to listen to other people, thank other people, laugh with other people, praise other people, hug other people, speak kind words, invest time. And when you're stressed, also, we're in the middle of page 20, be eager to forgive. It's there in that model prayer that Jesus taught in Luke 11. It's on page 2 of your handout, line 4. Jesus taught them to pray, "Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us." And look at the... Even secular scientist says forgiveness is a biological imperative. If you don't forgive, it will mess up your body, the research says. But it's a lot more than a biological imperative. It's a creator's imperative. That's why it's a biological imperative. Unforgiveness will stress you in damaging ways. God created humans to flourish through forgiveness with each other. When stressed, finally, reach out to others. The science shows that helping others, I'm quoting now from your handout there, seems to eliminate the impact of traumatic events on health and longevity. That is a big statement. For example, they've started end-of-life care programs with prisoners, where they have prisoners care for prisoners who are dying in jail, prison. And they've studied the psychological effects on those who are doing the caregiving and how it transformed them and even biologically made them so much healthier. God created us to care for others when we're hurting. As a matter of fact, part of the stress response is a release of hormones that encourage you to reach out to others. When you are stressed, reach out and love. You see there at the bottom of page 20, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." turn the page to page 21. Two quotes. The comfort we have received from the Lord has ministry in view. Even our suffering does not belong to us, but to the Lord. God wants us to raise up people filled with hope. And in another place he says, open your eyes and your heart and offer to others what you have been given by God. There is no better way to live in this fallen world. When you are under stress, reach out and connect and love. And so that leads us to part 10. It's such a simple question. Do you know anybody else who's dealing with the same stressors you are? But I can't imagine that very many of you have a whole list of stressors that are just completely unique to you and nobody in this room would understand. I mean, there may be unique challenges, I realize that. You may have one or two things that are really unique. But I bet we have a huge overlap in our stressors here. What should that do? Light you up to care for other people. And to be willing to talk about your own struggles, just like McGonigal said earlier. Remember, we gave you two booklets today, right? So that you could take one and use some of what you've learned today. Okay, let's hit a conclusion here then. First of all, a couple practical things. Nope, I already did all the practical things. So we can just get to 3 points. Okay, so we're in your booklet, page 22. My second favorite quote. I showed you my first favorite quote earlier. Here's my second favorite quote. The evolutionary process that built the higher brain bordered on the miraculous. The swiftness at which it developed is unparalleled in the evolutionary record. It was like the waving of a wand. I think he risked his scientific detachment in that statement. The Creator is amazing. Amazing. And I just so much, this is just one example of how I would watch the evolutionists slip into language like miraculous and waving wands when they were talking about how the brain could have evolved. But their faith in evolution is strong enough that they'll talk about waving wands before they'll admit the possibility of a creator. The Creator wired us for flourishing. Gratitude heals us. Forgiveness heals us. Love strengthens us. And though even though creation is broken, and by the way, and please make sure you understand that nothing I've said today suggests that you could live forever if you just forgive perfectly and love perfectly. Okay, we're talking about things that strengthen you physically, not things that take away the fact that you're dying. Okay. But when we look at how our bodies were created, we see the fingerprints of a good Creator all over it, and a Creator who wired us for human flourishing together. Secondly, the Creator's truth is remarkable. And I know I've said this other ways, but let me just reemphasize it. And I brought this one book just to make this point from it. In this book, this is the Mayo Clinic Guide to Stress-Free Living, the author says, so I called my parents this week. My mom and dad are about 80 years old, and my dad's been pastoring for 58 years, and they are been through a lot of stress, you know? Because they've invested their lives in a lot of people, plus the things in our own family. And I said to my mom, I was talking to my mom, and I said, Mom, I've been reading about the latest scientific research about stress, and you are never going to believe what they're discovering. You've never heard of these things before, Mom. And then I read her this first. Just wait. In the past 2 decades, neuroscientists have made phenomenal advances in mapping the brain's function. Using this base of medical evidence, scientists now have a much better instruction manual for the brain and mind than they did even a decade ago. Okay? So, Mom, you're way behind the times on what they've discovered even in the last decade. So let me flip back to the table of contents and tell you the chapter titles in this book with the stunning discoveries of the most recent neuroscience. Gratitude, compassion, acceptance or love, higher meaning or purpose, forgiveness, relationships, relaxation and reflection. I said, Mom, I know you never heard of those things before. But that's what the latest neuroscience has discovered. The Creator's truth is remarkable. And thirdly, the Creator loved us and gave Himself to be our Lord. All right, Pastor Eric, we really are almost ready for the National Geographic clip. Let me just explain it to you for a brief moment. So, in this National Geographic episode, which you can go watch if you'd really like to, they talk about, see, Sapolsky has studied these baboons for decades in Africa. And there was his very first tribe of baboons started foraging for food in some human trash somewhere. From that human trash, they got tuberculosis, and a third of the baboons died. Because he'd already been researching them, they were able to look. It was the males primarily that died, and they were able to look at which males died. And what they discovered was that it was very clear that it was the mean, nasty, hostile males that died. As a result of this, see, primates are nasty creatures. They are mean. Sapolsky says, I don't even like baboons, even though I've studied them for all these decades. This particular tribe of baboons became kind. They would watch new, like juvenile males come and join this tribe. And for about the first 6 months, they'd try to act like a typical baboon male, being a jerk. And this tribe would teach them, you don't act like that here. We're not like that. And the whole dynamic of this tribe changed, and they became kind. So, with that in mind, here is the grand conclusion to National Geographic. You remember we watched the scary things earlier, right? Here's the grand conclusion to their documentary about stress.
And so, the haunting question that endures from Robert's life work, are we brave enough to learn from a baboon? The Kikorok troop didn't just survive without stress, they thrived. Can we?
There you go. Haunting question. Are we willing to learn from a baboon tribe where the mean baboons died and they became kind? Folks, grab a hold of this. This is evolutionary science at its best. What kind of conclusions are they coming to? The same thing God told you all along. What's the second great commandment? Baboons can't obey the first great commandment. But what we saw was that the second great commandment matters even among baboons. So, if we think back, instead of the haunting question, are we willing to learn from a baboon? I think we'd be much better to think back to our central story from Luke 10, Martha and Mary. And I think the question for us ought to be, the biggest question about stress ought to be, are we willing to sit at the feet of our Lord? And I want to point your attention particularly to two parts of that phrase. First of all, the phrase, sitting at His feet. That phrase was a standard way of describing a disciple. The proper place for a disciple was under the feet of their master, in a sense. And with Jesus, we can elevate that even further because we have there the word Lord. He is Lord. And we really are at His feet, at His mercy, under His control, dependent on His provision, obedient to His command. Contrary to all human expectation, the least stressful place you could put yourself is at Jesus' feet. Accept your humanity and place yourself at the feet of the Lord. Not grasping for God-like control, not trying to be the Lord and Master who can control all the situations, but taking your place as just one human being at the feet of the one true Lord. In the world, you will have tribulation, but Jesus said, you can be encouraged, you can take courage, because He is the one who has overcome the world. We can take courage and face our stressors head on when we sit at Jesus' feet. So National Geographic says it's a haunting question about the baboons, but this is not a haunting question. This is a beautiful question, and it's the most important question you could ask about stress. Are you willing to sit at Jesus' feet?